we have just read the Ten Commandments. Within the Ten Commandments, honoring the parents is the first or second commandment about inter-human relationships, depending on how you interpret the commandments on the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath is not just a commandment between God and human. It's also about inter-human relationship if you read the commandment on the Sabbath correctly. But anyway, so honoring the parents is one of the very, very important rules or commandments that the people of God has to obey and observe. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I'm not going to preach on the entire Ten Commandments today because today is what? Mother's Day, okay? So as expected, I'm going to preach on a topic related to the theme mother. Besides Exodus 12, not 15. that's a typo there. If you go to the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul reiterates the command with some additional teachings. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So, again, every year we have Mother's Day, and the question is, like, how or why, at least, we should honor your mother, our mother. If you want to include, you can also include honor your father, but I think that's implied, right? When we say honor our parents and honor your mother on Mother's Day, then we will also honor our father. First of all, let's ask the question, why first, okay? Well, if you go back to Exodus 20, verse 12, or Ephesians chapter 6, do you see any reason why we have to do so? Yes and no, okay? So if you want to see like what you will get, then you will see some reason. Because in Exodus 20, it says, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And in Ephesians also, it mentions that that commandment is the first commandment with a promise. But of course, besides that, you can't find any explicit reason. Why? Well, the Bible spells out no explicit reason why the parents are to be honored. Well, perhaps I will say when an action is right in itself, it needs no rationale to justify its execution. Just like the rest of the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. Because these actions are simply wrong in themselves, they need no rationale to justify their prohibition. But does the rest of the Bible mention explicitly like what good a mother does to her own child? Well, you can certainly find some examples. For instance, if you are familiar with the book of Genesis, for instance, Rebekah, Isaac's wife, taught her son Jacob to trick her husband Isaac for his blessing. Well, this may not be an excellent example, but if you read the passage correctly, at least when Jacob asked, so what happened if my father find out I was not Esau, I'm Jacob? Then at least Rebecca said, well, let the curse fall on me, not you, okay? So Rebecca kind of redeemed herself that way. So, but you will also ask in that passage, so how about Esau? Is Esau Rebecca's son also? So let me propose another approach. Instead of looking for some explicit example like what like mother does to a child, let's take a look at how God is portrayed, okay? Maybe you have never thought of God that way. It's well known that the Bible portrays God as Father, Heavenly Father, right? Even though we know that, of course, God is spirit, not flesh. But however, in a few instances, the Bible uses the metaphor of a mother to describe God. Do you know that? Let me tell you two explicit examples. In one of the prophetic books, the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 49:15, in describing how the Lord responds to Zion, the Bible says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." Of course, this rhetorical. No mother will forget the baby, right? So, but God said, even though a human mother may forget, I will not forget you. So in this passage, God is using the image of a mother to compare to, I would say still use himself, sorry, not herself, but or God's self, okay? So in a later passage, take a look at this, Isaiah 66:13. "As the mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." So again, in this passage, we see that actually God is using the image of a mother to compare himself. So the Bible does use the metaphor of a mother to describe God, and what's important is that in order to be used as the metaphor, the image has to be common and normative. So we can say that since a mother typically always keeps her child in mind all the time and comforts her child when her child needs to be comforted, so the mother image is a very suitable metaphor to describe how God cares for his people. Of course, well, let me be fair, because I'm a father too. So in today's society, most fathers share certain responsibilities for taking care of their children. Let me share with you some of my recent personal experience. About 2 weeks ago, our 7-year-old daughter suffered from a viral infection to the point that actually the virus attacked her muscles, and she couldn't even stand or walk. As a parent, I'm so concerned, and of course my wife is very concerned too. And I can see that there are quite a few parents in this room. And I think you understand what I mean when your kid is sick. Even though you know deep down, well, he or she will recover someday. And but we have never seen that before. Okay, of course. My daughter has been sick, she has got fever and other stuff. But this is the first time we kind of witnessed that she's sick to the degree that she couldn't even stand or walk. Okay, and we are scared too, because when we talk to the doctor even asked, at least one of us had to stay with her 24/7, just in case. Because like even your heart is made up of muscles, you know. So if the virus attacked muscles, it can attack the heart too. So it can reduce the heartbeat, or some other things may happen. So we were warned that we need, at least one of us need to be need to accompany her 24/7, just in case anything bad happened. But fortunately, nothing like this happened. Okay, so as parents, my wife and I were deeply concerned. Let me share with you honestly. If I could, I'm so silly to think of this. If I could, I'm willing to suffer in place of her. And I believe that, although this is not possible, but I believe that if you are parents, you understand what I'm saying. But as grown-ups now, and most of you, we rarely remember how our parents care for us. And let me be honest with you, I couldn't recall a single instance how my mother took care of me when I was sick. Although I know actually when I was young, well, I would have been sick like a few times or more than a few times, right? And it's my mother who took care of me. But I'm now 40 something, but if you want me to like recount one of these instances, honestly I couldn't recount any of them. But I know she did, and she did worry for me and comfort me all the time. We are all very forgetful. For some of us, what we often remember is some bad decisions our parents had to make for us, or the other way around, some good decisions our parents failed to make for us. Right? For some of you, maybe what you remember is that. So if I need a reason to honor my mother today, it's because she keeps me in mind all the time and comforts me when I need to be comforted. And I encourage you to do so. If you can't find a reason, I hope that this is not true to any of you, right? So if you just can't find a reason, just remember she keeps you in mind all the time and comforts you when you need to be comforted. So let's move from from why to how. So how do we honor our parents? Well, I like one of the sayings in the book of Proverbs very much. I guess I haven't preached on this verse to this congregation, although I've preached on the book of Proverbs a few times last year. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. So, Proverbs 10:5. Two types of sons, and if you want to add daughters, okay, are mentioned here. The first type is prudent, okay, have insight. One of the behavior that shows his prudence is gathering crops in summer. He's prudent and have insight because when winter comes, he will have stuff to eat, right? The second type is disgraceful. A more appropriate translation would be that, like a son who causes disgrace. Not just a disgraceful son, but a son who causes disgrace. But disgrace to whom? Yes, it could be to himself, because if he sleeps during harvest, shame on him. Okay. But the term son actually implies a point of reference. A male is a son to his father and mother. In a honor and shame culture, a son who causes disgrace is often a son who causes disgrace to his parents. Just like Chinese culture, we are still in an honor and shame culture. So if my children do something bad, the parents, like me, I feel shame. That's how it works, okay? And that's what's important. And that's what's important to your parents too, probably. So when you behave badly or when you do something like rudely, your parents may feel shameful. So let's go back to this proverb. And one of the behavior that causes the disgrace is that sleeping during harvest. And let me give you a mini lecture on Hebrew parallelism, okay? So this is how it works. In Hebrew parallelism, the counterpart is also true, although it's not mentioned. That is, in the first sentence, he who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son. Of course, this statement is true. But it also implies that he who gathers crops in summer is a son who gives honor to his parents, which is the counterpart of the second verse. You understand what I'm saying? So also in the second verse, he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Of course, this is true. But it also implies he who sleeps during harvest is a foolish son, the counterpart of the first sentence. So in this verse, there is a very important lesson that we need to learn is that proper behavior gives honor to your parents. And of course, foolish behavior causes disgrace. So let's be practical. So when your mother asks you to do the dishes tonight, okay, do it, okay? Or what else? Bring out the garbage? Yes, do it, okay? That's the proper behavior. Or to mow the lawn and other stuff, other housework. So if they ask you to make a call because their English is not good enough and ask you to do so, do it, okay? And that's the proper behavior. Okay, don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Okay, and that's very practical because the book of Proverbs are most of the time is the sayings and the teachings are very practical. And of course, if you buy some flour or like treat them or her a meal, it's still considered as an act for honoring your mother. But doing some like behaving properly as a child, as a daughter or as a son, also gives honor to your parents. So the book of Proverbs, of course, have other related sayings about what not to do to your parents. Let me quote a few. Whoever robs, in another translation, New Jerusalem Bible, ill treats, it's more general, so I like that, so I include that here too. Whoever robs or ill treats their father and drives out their mother is a child who brings shame and disgrace. Again, it talks about shame and disgrace. But of course, this is not the action to be followed, right? And I don't believe anyone we have the power to do so right now, and so. But remember that when you grow older, especially for younger people, remember that. And I think this is important. And for older folks, and you understand what he's saying. If someone curses their father or mother, their lamb will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. This is the worst curse in the Bible. It actually is a metaphor for dying, okay? So, of course, if you see someone cursing their mother, rarely will you see that person drop dead right away. But this is how the book of Proverbs encourage us to do proper things and not to do improper things, okay? So this is really serious. Never curse your parents. Another one. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. It's easy to despise our parents, especially when they're old, and because you know more than your parents, typically, right? And your parents. If your parents are old, too old, like my parents, they may not know how to use email don't know how to use an iPhone, stuff like that, and it's so easy for us to despise them. So watch out, honor your parents by doing proper stuff, and also watch out these warnings. Do not follow any of them. Although today's is Mother's Day, but let me recap the lesson. So honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So this is the first part of this sermon. But this year I've learned some lesson my own, so I want to share with you. So this is the second part of the sermon. As you can see, actually there are three parts, right? You know the title of today's sermon: mother, wife, woman. Okay. In most cases, a mother is also a wife, but there are exceptions. But I'm not going to deal with that. Okay. My wife is now a mother of two children. At times, I find myself seeing this as her only role in our family. I even follow my children and call my wife Mama. Okay? Is that how you call your wife, guys? Husbands? I don't know. It's convenient, you know? You just follow your kids to like how you to call your wife. Well, I believe there is nothing inherently wrong with this epithet, but seeing your wife solely as the role of the mother of your children is kind of unhealthy. Husbands, you know what I'm saying, right? So if you are a husband and a father, let's encourage one another to treat our spouses not only as mothers, but also as wives. And I think that's one of the messages that I want to speak to you today, Mother's Day. The book of Proverbs has a very, very important passage on marital relationship. Proverbs chapter 5. I have briefly explained this passage last September while most of you were at retreat. Proverbs 5, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. If you are not familiar with this passage, you have no idea what it's talking about up to this point. What are those water, springs, streams, stuff like that? And if you keep on reading, and if you know this passage using the metaphor of water to mean sexual pleasure, then you click what it's about. 18, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving though a dearful dear, a graceful dear, may her breast satisfy you always, may you ever be intoxicated with her love. Well, I'm not going to go into details, but I guess most of you would kind of sense like what it actually meant, right? So all the water imageries are talking about sexual pleasure. And of course, like sexual pleasure outside marriage is wrong. So that's what it's talking about in the first three verses. And in verse 18 and 19, it talks about mutual satisfaction, about how you should satisfy your wife, and hopefully, and how your, because like the book of Proverbs, it's male-oriented, sorry. So and in verse 19, it also says something like, this is a wish, and may her satisfy you sexually, okay? It's very practical and physical, okay? And it's very romantic and beautiful here. So, and it uses different metaphors to describe sex within marriage. So if you are more familiar with the New Testament, actually the New Testament talk about sex too. Okay, well, it's spoken by Paul, so it's not as romantic as the book of Proverbs. and it's somehow, presented in a kind of more negative tone. But let me read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. What is the marital duty? It's talking about sex, okay? And likewise, the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but use it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over her own body, but use it to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent, and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. It's kind of explicit, right? So I do not need to elaborate on that. It's talking about sex within marriage. And as I mentioned, I would say Paul is more practical. So if you can control, let me paraphrase that. So if you can control yourself, get a wife, okay? So that's how Paul, what Paul means in the first few verses, first two verses. But anyways, both the sage in Proverbs and also Paul in 1 Corinthians talk about sex within marriage. And of course, fulfilling the needs to your spouse is not limited to sex and sexual pleasure, but this is how the Bible talks about this topic. So again, although today is Mother's Day, I encourage all husbands to demonstrate romantic and sacrificial love to your wife. Don't just treat your wife as the mother of your children. And this is very important. And again, although these two passages, Proverbs 5 and 1 Corinthians 7, although these two passages talk about physical intimacy and satisfaction, we know that as husbands, it's also our mandate to satisfy other needs of our wife, right? Emotional need and hopefully spiritual needs. And that's important. Treat your wife as your wife, not just the mother of your children. So for those who are married, I don't know how long have you been married. It was our 15th anniversary 3 days ago. thank you. In a husband's gathering recently, a husband who has been married for 10 years mentioned to me that it took him more and more effort to demonstrate sacrificial love to his wife. And in the gathering, he asked, and like, why do I have to be the one who yield every time? So why not my wife this time, and why me? Why do I be the one who sacrificed this time? And of course, I think his wife may have another perspective, but that's not the point here. But let me be frank with you. As a husband who has been married for 15 years, I can empathize with him. Okay. At times, when this kind of evil thought pops out, I recall what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:7, and I like this passage very much. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heir with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So what does it mean by the weaker partner? Well, there are different interpretations, but I believe that among all, it means primarily weaker in the physical sense. A female is typically physically weaker than a male. And in ancient culture, this physical sense would have social implications as well. It would be easy for a husband to abuse his wife because he is physically stronger and socially superior. So a wife is thus the more vulnerable partner. I have read a study about sleeping problem, and this study indicated that women in the age between 30 and 60 sleep on average 6 hours and 41 minutes a night. And I don't know whether you can get 6 hours and 41 minutes a night for ladies, and which is less than they require. And what are women doing instead of sleeping? Usually nothing fun at all. Women are light sleepers and wake easily, disturbed by sounds and thoughts. And they are often worried about their children, work, home responsibilities, and physical well-being. And another problem is that women are more likely than men to have sleeping problem, insomnia. And this can become common and occurring like several times a week, if not more often. So, and of course, and also in the study it says women are more likely than men to experience pain at night and headaches and other types of pain, okay? So, in my own family, I can testify that like all women in my family has kind of different kinds of sleeping problems. And for my wife, because I'm snoring, but that's not the point again. So husbands, treat your wives with respect because she is the weaker partner. Don't abuse her. And of course, the reverse is true too, right? Wives, don't abuse your husband. I will briefly touch on the last topic. So, finally, a mother is not only a mother and a wife, but also a woman. Let me ask you, do you think men and women are born equal? Do you think so? No? Well, theologically, God creates male and female in his image. So read this, okay. Theologically, okay. Well, although in Genesis 2:18, Adam's wife is called a suitable helper, but the same word is used of God elsewhere in Scripture. So you cannot use that to argue that actually your wife is only just a helper. No, okay, because the same word helper is used mostly in the Psalms to represent God. Okay, so but wives don't use that as like as a way to argue that you should lord over your husband. Okay, so it would be fair to say that men and women should be treated with equal respect, although men and women can be quite different. Fair, okay? Picture this, okay, let me give you an example. It's happy hour after work. On one side of the room, there's a group of women deep in conversation. Their chairs are all turned toward each other, and they continually make eye contact when they converse. On the other side of the room, there's a group of four men. They sit at angles to each other. During much of their conversation, their eyes roam around the room, and looking at each other infrequently. Do you think there's a problem here? No, because for each man, his relaxed body position is actually helping him concentrate. But for ladies, when you talk, you like to look at each other. There's nothing wrong with either group. It's simply that men and women are different, okay? But when men and women join the same group, then problems may occur. Like, you understand what I'm saying, right? And let me ask you another question. Who talk more, men or women? Okay. Well, I believe, well, of course, it depends from person to person. But this is what I read, and I kind of agree in general. So typically, there's not much difference statistically. Like, doesn't mean that women always talk more, but women talk more to their friends and family. But men talk more at work with their colleagues, and their style of communication are usually like different too. We talk about politics, we talk about the world and other stuff, we exchange information in conversation. So, but ladies are more into personal feelings and also talks about family and friends. So again, I just want to point out one thing. Men and women are different. So in like today, Mother's Day, let me speak to all men in this room. Try to respect the opposite sex. And of course, ladies, you should do the same too. So let me conclude with something. Imagine that on a Saturday, for guys also, actually for guys especially. So on a Saturday morning, if you see a Corolla going 50 kilometers per hour in a 60 kilometer zone, occupying the left lane. Okay, well, no offense, if you are driving a Corolla, no offense. I'm driving a Camry too. So, and when you pass over and see that, well, there's a lady driving, don't stare at her with a sense of despise or something like that. Well, do you know why I know that? Because that's me 20 years ago. Okay, but I have repented, and so do you. respect gender difference. And remember that your mother could be that driver someday. And you don't want your mother to be despised, right? So, happy Mother's Day. okay, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us so many passages in the scripture to remind us that we need to honor our parents and not to curse them, not to despise them even though they are old. And Lord, we pray that you will help all husbands in this room too to treat our wives fairly and love our wife with the sacrificial love that we promised to demonstrate when we marry them. And Lord, we also pray for all men in this room to treat the other sex with respect in all kinds of circumstances. And today, Mother's Day, and we pray for all the mother in this room, in this congregation, and may you bless them continually and give them a spiritual wisdom to raise their kids. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Everybody, let's rise and